Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. You're going to be glad you did, because we got a story to tell you right now, folks, that touches about as many elements of entrepreneurship as I can imagine. There's a pure entrepreneurship element. There's a visionary element. There's a partnership element. There's an international business element. There's all kinds. There's a construction element. There's a tourism element. And, of course, the magic word, there's a golf element to all this. And the guy who has combined all of those things from the dream to the reality, which it's about to become, is our good friend Jerry Sarvati, the general partner of Renaissance Club at Archerfield, which is in Scotland, folks. Wedged between Edinburgh and Muirfield Village, or Muirfield, I should say. It's hard by to Muirfield. It's a brand new golf course called Renaissance Club at Archerfield, and Jerry Sarvati is the guy who dreamed this up and has made it happen, along with a few other friends. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you so much. We're real pleased and real happy to getting very close to our opening day.
You're just about ready to pull the trigger over there, aren't you?
We sure are. We've got a couple more weeks now, and on the 8th of April, we're gonna open up the course for play.
Now, for those who might have forgotten, or those who didn't hear you on the show before, give us a quick tour of how this all came to be.
Well, about 6 years ago now, I've got five brothers and three sisters, and all my brothers and I were at a little golf tournament that my dad started, and one of my brother's business associates knew about a piece of property over in Scotland and knew exactly where the property was and knew the owners of the property, and he suggested to us that they were looking for a U.S. group to come over and joint venture with and partner with them to build a golf course. And at that time, I decided to take the project on and look at the project, and that's what I did. I went over, evaluated it, studied it for 2.5 years, negotiated with the owners of the land, and formed a partnership, and raised the money and built a golf course.
And that's, there you go, folks. That's an excellent tour. But now, along the way, in England, folks, and you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, Jerry, about the positioning of a certain structure, and he was saying, you know, around here in the United States, you got to deal with the migratory bird issues. You got to deal with the antiquities issue, the historical societies, the Indian burial ground issues, and you know, he was talking about all the different things that you have to go through over here. Well, you can put all that on steroids over there in Scotland, can't you?
Oh, yeah, you have pretty much the same issues that we would experience here. The basic difference is, you know, things go back a bit farther over there. for example, on our 17th hole, there's an archaeological evaluation that's done when you start clearing the land, and we came across a medieval village, and there was a 12-week period that the archaeological consultants came through and did their work and did their study and did their evaluation, and then we ended up putting the golf hole over the top of it.
And didn't you put a plaque or something there? Some kind of a...
Well, we're going to. It's a medieval village, and you know, you're talking about, I don't know, 700 or something like that. I mean, it just goes back a long time.
Right. And so, but good for those folks for not shutting you down over there. But that's what happens all the time over there. Now, I'm looking at a picture. It's got one hole here. I'm not sure which one this is, but it's got a wall going through the middle of it, or up the side of it.
Yeah, there were quite a few walls that we renovated. Part of the responsibility that we have is to manage and to restore, which is part of the reason that we came up with the name Renaissance, because basically it's a renaissance of the entire estate. The Archfield estate's 1,000 acres, and we've renovated the entire estate along with a partner to the east of us, a land development and a residential house development called Archfield Links.
Now, these walls, any idea how old those walls are?
No, we haven't done that part of the evaluation. We never just came to buy, but they've been there for, you know, generations,
centuries.
On generations. I mean,
centuries, yeah, and centuries. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The house itself goes back to 1100.
Wow.
It was an Archfield Manor home.
Is that right? To 1100. Wow.
Yeah, so those walls were probably in that time.
That's Henry II.
You know, obviously of time.
Folks, you've heard me talk about Henry II, the guy who really gave rise to the what we call British common law, which our laws are based off of. So it goes back to those days. That's incredible. Okay, so you got big doings coming up on the 8th. You're going to launch this thing. What's going to happen on the 8th?
Well, we've got several media people from the all over the UK, including London, coming in, and we're just going to have the members get there and announce the opening and basically start the day with a little golf and a little champagne.
So here's another important business element, folks. It's not enough just to have the vision. It's not enough just to be able to pull this thing off. But you got to finish the paperwork. You got to do the marketing, right? You got to get the PR out there, just like we would with any other product launch, right, Jerry?
Absolutely. It's a big part of the entire process right now, and it's not just something that happens. It's an ongoing process. It's continual.
And you may find that this is harder than building the golf course.
To some extent. I mean, what I have found so far is that, you know, there's an initial push when you start getting the course where it's cleared and you can see the green grass and things, but people get interested. We've had quite a following already with almost 70 members who have joined since we began that process. But now you get to the reality. Now the course is opening and, you know, we really see where people are going to come from and how much interest, real interest. We'll know that, you know, over the next several weeks and months.
Right. Now, give us the website, Jerry.
The website is www.trcaa.com.
TRCAA, the Renaissance Club at Archerfield. That's how what that sounds like. TRCAA.com. Check it out, folks. And when you're over there near Edinburgh, drop by and play around. We come back, we're going to talk some more with Jerry Sarvati, the visionary behind this outstanding business venture over in Scotland. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. They're there for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Jerry Sarvati is our guest, our good friend, general manager of the Renaissance Club at Archerfield. That is in Scotland, ladies and gentlemen. That's hard by, just across the wall from Muirfield, the famous Muirfield golf course, and just down the road, south, just slightly south, I guess, of Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland, where Edinburgh University is. Wonderful city. I've been there myself, and wonderful part of the world. Scotland, Jerry, the Scots are wonderful people, aren't they?
There sure are, but there are some cultural differences that have had challenges to overcome.
Well, I just want to say this, folks. I have never traveled anywhere where the people were nicer to me than the Scots were, but now, Jerry, I want to talk about those cultural differences in a minute. But before we do, we got to throw our golfers a bone here, Jerry. How long is the golf course?
The golf course
from the tips.
All the way back, which, by the way, the normal people can't play, is 7,435 yards.
Yeah, I don't bite that much off. So what about from the men's?
Too much.
From the men's tees, what about 6,900, 7,000?
Yeah, just a little less than 7,000, 6,900.
Yeah. And then the fairways are what kind of grass?
The fairways are fescue. It's all the native fescue to the area. There's different blends for the tees, the greens, and the rough is basically the natural fescue. Our agronomists have come a long way in the past several years, and they've really perfected things. So we've been very fortunate with
that. But you tried to keep things as indigenous as possible. Tell us what kind of grass you have on the greens.
The greens is also fescue, although there is about a small 15% blend of bent grass with the fescue. But basically what you do is you try to keep those native, as you call it, those native grasses to the turf because they're used to it, and they just do so much.
I used to live on a farm. I put a lot of fescue hay in a barn in my life, but when I was a kid. But I've never putted on fescue grass. What's it like?
Well, you probably have. If you've ever played in Scotland, most of the courses in there, especially the links courses that are around the sea, they're all basic native fescue.
Is that fescue? Okay.
That's fescue.
I guess I just didn't know that.
You didn't know it. But.
So, and you got, what, three holes on the fourth of fourth?
We do. We've got three holes
three
on the fourth
three water
fourth,
holes, folks.
Three water holes and six or seven that have views of the first from various points
of
the course. So
wow, magnificent.
It's really
folks.
Pretty.
Go to that website and give us the website again, Jerry.
Yeah, www.trcaa.com.
And that's where
it's recently been, I want to mention, it's recently been updated too, and there's quite a few additional pictures of the course, so take a look.
Beautiful, beautiful pictures. Jerry, talk to us about some of the cultural differences that you've gone through. You're building a clubhouse right now. How's that going?
I wanted to mention, actually it's a lodge, and it's eventually going to be 18 rooms for the members and guests to come and stay, but right now we're using four of the rooms, one of them for an interim pro shop, and then three of them for the locker rooms. And just like most construction projects that you would see, you know, we've had the same type of problems associated with delays and differences and things. It's just it's just an interesting experience.
What are some of the issues that you've run into?
Well, you know, similar to what we would see over here, you know, the trades, the way that they do things, their day-to-day.
Are there unions? Are there unions over there?
There are unions, and depending on... Depending on, you know, we hired a mechanical and plumbing contractor, and it's a big company, and union, labor, et cetera. So some of those same similar issues, you know, I guess when the small business people, the guys working for themselves, have a certain motivation, and they do things differently than the big companies, and we ran into some of that. So it's been a little frustrating.
Hard to get them motivated, huh?
Hard to get it's a task no matter what you do.
Yeah. What are some of the other issues you've run into?
The other things we have, the differences in the actual engineering, you know, the difference between using meters and using inches, and then products that we, like there were some products that I wanted to bring from the States over to there, and, you know, we couldn't get them, but couldn't use them because there were, you know, they weren't made for into UK standards. So there's some standard differences, and there's some differences in measurement. So those things caused some consternation, but we got through the issues, and we modified, and we compromised is what you end up doing.
You know, the Mars rover crashed onto Mars because they measured their speed in miles per hour or in feet, and they measured the some other measurement. They used meters, and so, you know, it just didn't work out. So they had a crash over this. It's important to get all those things coordinated, isn't it?
It sure is. It's important to get them directly coordinated. That's for
sure. So these are things, folks, to pay attention to when you're doing business overseas. If you're exporting, and you're using the English system of measurement, and ironically, in England, are they using the metric system over there?
They do. And some things they do. It's kind of a combination. It's funny because you know, it's miles per hour on the road.
I know.
But then you get some things they start measuring. It's in meters and centimeters and millimeters.
So be careful, folks. Give us the website one more time, Jerry. I want people to go see this thing.
www.trcaa.com.
Hey, congratulations on the great success, Jerry. We're going to let you come back and keep us posted on how things are going. Good luck on the grand opening on April the 8th.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Jerry Sarvati, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for just a few minutes. I'll be right back. Don't go away. I'll be right back with Ivan Meisner.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.